Well, as my dad mentioned, we are going to take a page out of Jesus' playbook. He taught a lot out of parables. Sometimes he'd answer entire theological questions just by telling a story. So that's what we're going to do. We're going to spend some time hearing from parables that you recognize around this season. Maybe you've seen some of these movies. And I'll tell you this, if you're new to church, you're not a church attender regularly, this is a good week to be here. And it's a good week to invite people who aren't church attenders because they at least can understand and know some of the more familiar topics in these stories we're going to be covering. It's a great place to start your faith journey. And that's what we're going to talk about today. Where does your belief begin? Or I should say this, what is beneath your belief? As we go on this faith journey, we have to mine our beliefs from somewhere. Well, for some of you, it's the facts. So let me give you the facts here. There are roughly 378 million children in the world whose households practice Christmas. And according to the Population Reference Bureau, at an average rate of 3.5 children per household, that's 92 million homes. There's at least one good kid in each home on the nice list, unless it's my home this year. To get it done, it's about 822 visits per second. The heat generated at liftoff to get this done will cause the lead pair of reindeer to absorb 14.3 quintillion joules of energy per second per reindeer. In short, they will burst into flame immediately. Guys, you're laughing at this? You guys are sick. Shouldn't laugh at this. Almost instantaneously exposing the reindeer behind them and create a series of deafening sonic booms in their wake, the entire reindeer team will be vaporized in 4.26 thousandths of a second. Santa, meanwhile, will be subject to centripetal forces of 17,500 times greater than that of gravity. So a roughly 250-pound Santa, which is on the light side, will be thrown to the back of his sleigh by about 4,315,000 pounds of force. So, the facts. What are the facts? That's the question. And for so many of us, our journey into asking questions about our beliefs, asking questions about what we believe about God, began with a search for the facts. Your search for the facts about Christmas and the real Christmas story, you didn't necessarily reach on the shelf and pull out your Bible because you're at like, well, how can I trust them? They're Christians, they're wanting to advance their agenda and their cause. So maybe you reach for other books. Maybe you actually have an Encyclopedia Britannica still. Hard copy. So maybe you reach for that. Maybe you reach for something about historically. What does the historical scholar say about the Christmas story? Well, let me tell you what any serious historical scholar would say about the Christmas story, and particularly the narrative we find in the Bible. They would tell you that it begins with one of the most damaging and counterproductive ideas if truly the authors were trying to advance their own agenda. Matthew is a Jew. He's writing to first century Jews. And the Christmas story begins with Matthew writing this. Verse 18, chapter 1. This is how the birth of Jesus and the Messiah came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph. But before they came together, she was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit. There are not superlatives strong enough in the English language for me to describe how repugnant, how repulsive, how offensive it would be to a first century Jew that the Messiah, the anointed one of God, is born to an unwed mother. That would be so offensive, it might get you stoned if you wrote it, it might get you imprisoned, and it would definitely get your whole idea disregarded in history. But what happened was tens of thousands of Jews in Jerusalem became Christians in the first century. The only way that happens is if this account was eyewitnessed and true. That it's true. Now that's a compelling fact, all right? That would be for me, if you're looking for the rational arguments for the veracity and trustworthiness of the gospel accounts, that would be near the top of my list. Any serious historical scholar would agree with that. But if that's not enough for you, some of you are out there, you're like, nope, I need to go and get on a train to the North Pole and see him myself. I need to hear Santa's sleigh. I need to see him in person. I need to experience God. I need to experience him, actually be able to put my hands on it before I'll believe. So for you, intellectual argument, convincing intellectual argument, not what you can base your belief on. For you, it's gonna have to come down to an incredible experience. That scene perfectly depicts what it's like for someone, maybe like yourself, who's not a church person, didn't grow up in church, skeptical, to go to church for the very first time, right? You don't know where the door is. There's some guy there waving you in this way. You don't know if you need a ticket or you need to tithe. And then you meet the Christians who are kind of nerdy, like me. And they like pretend they know it all. They're trying to tell you all the facts about life. And then you meet the really sweet, naive ones. You're like, we're going to the North Pole when we die. And you're like, okay, you know, it's all right. Are we really going? They look out the window with their little, you know, their biases at the world outside, and they look at it and they say, that's God. And you're like, no, it's just a cheap plastic Santa. You can't see it. It's just mechanical. It's this. It's not what you think it is. They look out the window of their caboose, make decisions about how the world's going to be. So confident about what they believe, right? If you've ever been there, that's how you feel. You feel like, what are these people? They're singing songs I don't know. They're all excited about something that I'm not sure about. But maybe for a while you stuck around. Maybe this is your story. You stuck around. The hot chocolate came out. You know, the next scene, the hot chocolate comes out. You drink it. It's not that bad. You know, that Pastor Episcopo is not that bad. The young one. Just kidding. But, you know, you start coming out. You know, you have some experiences. You have an emotional experience. You kind of really enjoy it. Maybe you go to a Bible study. Maybe you get involved. You start serving. You say, look, I don't know about all the facts about Noah and the animals and the fish swallowing Jonah. I don't know about all the facts, but I tell you what. I'm starting to build some belief around some pretty convincing emotional experiences that I think are real. Building belief on that. And they were good until they weren't. You know, just until it wore off. Maybe you kept coming, and over time, it's like you're on the train, but you're not in the warm caboose. You're actually kind of like, in the next scene we're going to see, you're on top of the train where it's cold. But you're on the tracks. You're going. The songs are there around you, but they're not in you. You know? Or maybe something really tragic happened, and you're like, you know, Lord, I trust you with my life. I got on your railroad tracks here, and this is where you're going to drop me off. So I'm going to be conductor now. I'm going to be king of the train. I'm going to be king now because I can't trust you with my life. Maybe that's your story. Either way, you just don't feel it like you used to. And you're kind of outside like this. The last thing that boy said was, I want to believe, but. That's Joseph. That's Joseph. Joseph is engaged to be married to Mary. They're not married yet. So here's the facts. If you're going to talk seeing is believing, here's what Joseph sees. Mary, the good Jewish girl, the one that is so righteous and has so much integrity that it's why God picked her, right? She's got this great character. God picks her out. Joseph knows her. And yet this happens to Joseph. And she tells him, like, look, it was God. I mean, the facts are, like, come on, that doesn't happen. Right, Joseph is looking at this like, she doesn't even have the courage to tell me to my face who it was after all these years. Joseph's Christmas begins with a gift being ripped out of his hands. I mean, his whole life, he's like, I want to, you know, be a dad of a family, you know, these dreams of having this household, and now he's got this, and he's going to have to raise this kid, it's not his, and it's from God, but, you know, so Joseph's out, like, he doesn't believe fully, but he wants to. He doesn't believe, because it actually says here in Matthew 19, it says, because Joseph, her husband's faithful to the law, didn't want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. So he's going to divorce her. I mean, the word divorce there means break off the engagement. So he's not going to go through with this engagement. He can't, right? That's what the law says. He's a man of the law. And this is what you do when adultery happens, or when she's pregnant out of wedlock. So he doesn't believe, but he wants to. So he decides to do it quietly. Do you know how big a deal that is? This is in an honor-shame society. This is Joseph risking everything. This is social suicide, because now when that baby is born and no one knew about it because Joseph didn't go public with it yet, or when she starts to show, you know what they're going to say? Well, Joseph, you guys must have out of wedlock. You were engaged, so obviously this is Joseph's thing. And yeah, this happened out of wedlock. The scandal of that was huge. It would destroy his honor. Why is he going to do this? Why wouldn't he do it publicly, which is what the law says? Well, you know why? Because he believes. He doesn't believe, but he believes. He's got this voice in his head going, I doubt her. I doubt her. I doubt her. But yet, I still believe. So Joseph goes to bed one night. He falls asleep quietly, does not rustle the sheets, and breathes slowly and softly, listening for a sound he thought he would never hear. There's a moment where you, me, all of us, we have to make a decision about what we believe. How are we going to get there? What's going to be underneath it? What's going to get us to that place? Well, for Joseph, this is his story. After he considered this, talking about the previous verse, verse 19, Joseph, after he considers this, an angel of the Lord appears to Joseph, but he does it in a dream. Maybe there was a Polar Express, maybe. But he appears to him in a dream. Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save people from their sins. And then he woke up. It's a dream. It doesn't say it was like the angel appeared to him and he could like hold the angel's, you know, hands and cloak and see him eyeball to eyeball. No. Joseph wakes up. This was a dream. So Joseph's got to make a decision. Was it a dream or a dream? Or a real dream? He had to make a decision. Oh, what's he going to believe? He didn't have the facts, because the facts don't add up. Facts don't add up. And the moral of the story isn't that you need to go home and have a dream where an angel comes to you and says, God's real and you should believe in this whole Christmas story because it's true. No, there's not enough emotional experiences you can have that you can mine enough progress and enough motivation to keep going when you do fail and have a bad experience. There's not enough there. The answer to where Joseph got his decision to believe and where you and I get our decision to believe is the same place. And it's always been, for every believer, it has to be the gift. Has to be a gift of God. It's not an intellectual experience, an intellectual convincing argument. You can always find a new one out there. It's not going to be enough emotional highs or experiences that are compelling. It's going to be what Christmas is about. It's going to be about a gift, just like this. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 talks about this gift. It says this: God saved you. God did the work. God saved you by grace when you believed. It is a gift. That's what the verse says. You can't take credit for it. It's a gift. Do you ever wonder if you had been an eyewitness to Jesus' life and his resurrection, would this verse still apply to you? Would you need it? Would you need that gift of belief? Would you need that gift? Because the truth is you're there. I mean, if you could take a Polar Express 2,000 years back into history and be there and do exactly like this boy, kind of be there to see it, to see Jesus and see him raised from the dead and then talk to him after you had seen him die on the cross. If you had been there, do you need the gift of belief? Or you're good? You have the eyewitness. You can see it, the facts. I think you know yourself well enough to know, at least myself, I know this, that I could see it. But there'd be a voice in my head. There'd be the doubter that says, Brian, yeah, that's real. Jesus did raise from the dead to forgive people for their sins, to take care of their sins, but not your sins. No, Brian, yours are too big. No, it would be too hard for me to watch it happen. And without the gift of belief, there's not enough facts, there's not enough emotional experiences that could move the mountain that would say, Brian, yeah, Jesus loves people, but you don't love him enough for him to love you. You don't have enough faith for him. And there would not be enough facts, there wouldn't be enough eyewitness experiences that I could have that would convince me and can move those mountains of doubt that God did exactly like that film in a sea of people throughout centuries. In a sea of centuries, he looks at you right now and he says, speaking of gifts, let's have you right now. This is for you. That's the hardest part about the gift. Frankly, I think some of you would believe, and maybe you do believe, that Jesus died and loves people and God loves people, but you don't question the gift. What you question is this, that your name is on it. Your name. That's the hardest part. You can't open this up because you don't believe it's got your name on it. And the truth of the gospel is that God calls your name. The gift of Jesus has your name on it. And that his life and perfect life is enough to cover your past. Not just my past, your past. And his power living in you is enough to change your future despite your troubles, despite your tragedies, despite your addictions, all of those things. God can still use you. The gift has your name on it. And so some of us, we just can't open it because we don't believe that. But this Christmas, all I want you to do is go underneath the tree. And I want you to see your name on that gift. Belief. Open it. Ask God for it. Just the way that in that clip, just whisper in his ear. That's what prayer is. Whispering in God's ear. God, help me believe. And just like this next clip, if you open it, you'll be able to hear him say your name. We know Santa is a legend, but Jesus is real. And God's love for you is real. And my prayer today is that you heard, we shook this together. We shook this thing and you heard God's name. You heard your name in God's mouth. You heard him say your name, maybe for the first time. But every time you open this up and read this, you shake this thing, I promise you, you'll hear God's voice calling your name. God stooping down with a handwritten note written right to you, your name on it. Because the gift of Jesus is not just for those out there, it is for you. So open it, believe, ask God for that. He loves to give gifts. Let's pray. Lord, I'm in a room full of people who at one point, maybe we battled doubts. I know at some point they're gonna come our way, Lord, because sometimes we do look at our experiences and we mine belief from those things. Or we hear some sort of compelling argument, Lord, and we mine some belief out of that. But Lord, help us to get all of our belief from you, from what you say. Let's go to your word, Lord. Just make us people who go to your word to shake this thing, to hear your voice above all the noise this Christmas. And give us the gift of belief. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.